Did Vatican II advocate freedom of conscience? What do Catholics have to believe? Is one religion as good as another? What did Vatican II really teach? Welcome to EWTN's Vatican II Documents. I'm Father Regis Scanlon. I'm a Capuchin Franciscan from Denver, Colorado. And I'd like to welcome you here. Our discussion today is going to be, once again, on Gaudium et Spes. That's the pastoral constitution of the Church in the modern world. And a particular question that we'd like to focus on today is world peace possible? Now, if you would like to follow this in your readings, you would be reading Numbers 77 to 93 of Gaudium et Spes. That's approximately chapter 5. The Council states in 78 of Gaudium et Spes that peace is more than the absence of war. It is the fruit of righteousness. The Council reminds us that peace will never be achieved once and for all in this life. So it must be continually built up. We must work at it constantly. And this cannot be done without fraternal charity, which comes from Jesus Christ. The Council states in 79 that the principles of the natural and the divine law are binding on individuals and nations. Even in war, these principles are binding. Blind obedience to governments cannot excuse one from following the principles of the divine and natural law. Because nations are not always just in their reasons for war, the Council states in number 79 that, quote, laws should make humane provision for this case of conscientious objectors who refuse to carry arms, provided they accept some other form of community service, unquote. We must ask here, is a just war possible today? The Council answers this in number 79 also of Gaudium et Spes. It says this, quote, as long as the danger of war persists and there is no international authority with the necessary competence and power, governments cannot be denied the right of lawful self-defense. Once all peace efforts have failed, state leaders and all who share the burden of public administration have the duty to defend the interests of their people and to conduct such grave matters with a deep sense of responsibility. However, it is one thing to wage a war of self-defense. It is quite another to seek to impose domination on another nation. The possession of war potential does not justify the use of force for political or military objectives, nor does the mere fact that war has unfortunately broken out mean that all is fair between the warring parties. Unquote. So yes, there can be a just war. When? In self-defense, provided that a person has investigated other ways of solving the difficulty. So a just war is possible today when it is a matter of self-defense. Now, but just because one nation has attacked another doesn't give the other the right to use any means whatsoever to bring the war to an end. They still have to follow the principles of the natural and divine law. This brings up the whole question, doesn't it? The whole notion of total warfare. Is it morally licit to use nuclear weapons? The Council states in number 80 of Gaudium et Spes that, quote, the development of armaments by modern science has immeasurably magnified the horrors and wickedness of war. Warfare conducted with these weapons can inflict immense and indiscriminate havoc, which goes far beyond the bounds of legitimate defense, unquote. So the Council goes on to say that if the full power of the armaments we have today were used, both sides would be destroyed and harmful effects would spread throughout countries to affect non-combatants of war. The Council therefore says in number 80, quote, every act of war directed to the indiscriminate destruction of whole cities or vast areas with their inhabitants is a crime against God and man, which merits firm and unequivocal condemnation, unquote. Now, wankiness means one cannot engage in mass destruction of non-combatants or civilians in war, like women and children, in order to horrify an unjust aggressor so it will surrender. We're not allowed to do that. You know what that is? That's terrorism at a very high level. Terrorism. It may be difficult for American people to accept this, but according to the teachings of the Second Vatican Council, the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima during the Second World War was immoral. Well, then what about the arms race? Most people know that nuclear armaments are not amassed merely for use in wartime. Because the strength of any nation is usually measured by its armaments, nuclear weapons are amassed as a deterrent to other nations. However, this does not eliminate the cause of war. It only aggravates it. For more and more countries will stockpile nuclear arms instead of using this money to alleviate the root causes of war, like poverty and so forth. Therefore, the Council declares, and number 81 of Gaudium et Spes, quote, "The arms race is one of the greatest curses on the human race, and the harm that it inflicts on the poor is more than can be endured. And there is every reason to fear that if it continues, it will bring forth those lethal disasters which are already in preparation," unquote. So the council warns us, huh? It says, even though people may think that they can keep back from actually using these armaments, and their only plan is to use them as kind of a bluff, but they say there's every reason to suspect that this isn't going to work. There's every reason to suspect that sooner or later they're going to end up using these. Because man isn't always in control of his emotions, whether he's an individual or he acts as a group. You know, you can have a person committing suicide. You can have mass suicides. You can have a person killing another person. You can have lynch mobs. So groups can act irrationally at times. So there's every reason to suspect that if we amass these armaments, they're going to be used. So in number 82 of Gaudium et Spes, the council warns, gives a firm warning. It says this, quote, "But let us not be buoyed up with false hope, for unless animosity and hatred are put aside and firm, honest agreements about world peace are concluded, humanity may, in spite of the wonders of modern science, go from the grave crisis of the present day to that dismal hour when the only peace it will experience will be the dread peace of death," unquote. That's the Second Vatican Council, document Gaudium et Spes. So once again, we ask ourselves, what's the solution? What do we do here in 1998 after seeing this? Well, you know, the Council began its document, Gaudium et Spes, by recognizing in number 77 that the world is, quote, facing a moment of supreme crisis, unquote, as it advances to maturity. Why does the Council say this? The Council says this because mankind has gradually come closer together and more conscious of its unity. We're more conscious of one another throughout the world. So unless human beings are able to live peacefully together, there will be war. And the advances in science and technology, okay, make warfare far more savage than previous ages because of the many new devastating weapons. The Second Vatican Council teaches us that the only way to eliminate war, especially total or nuclear war, and to obtain peace, is to root out the causes of war. In other words, the injustice. The Council states in number 83 of Gaudium et Spes that much of the injustice is caused by excessive economic inequalities, the rich nations versus the poor nations. Another cause is racism and the contempt for peoples. Man cannot put up with this kind of disorder long. Unless these disorders are addressed, there will be no peace. For even when there is an absence of war, there is still strife among peoples. The Council says in number 84 that these problems can only be solved through international organizations set up to promote the welfare of developing countries. There must also be an international authority to protect the poor and the weak nations from being transgressed by richer and more powerful nations. In this regard, the Council says in number 88 of Gaudium et Spes that, quote, Christians should willingly and wholeheartedly support the establishment of an international order that includes a genuine respect for religious legitimate freedom and friendly sentiments of brotherhood towards all men, unquote. Some might say, Father, that's communism. No, that's not. That's Christianity. Christ himself desired unity and cooperation among all men, especially for the sake of the poor. Now, it's true, you could have an international order which is wicked, or you could have an international order which is good. We want an international order which is good, but it won't come about unless Christians all get involved and establish that international order. If we try to be isolationist and stay away, evil will take over, and then we will be victimized. But any attempt to establish social justice as a basis for peace will never succeed as long as justice is denied to any one group or individuals, no matter how small or insignificant this group may be. Today, developed nations like us, the United States, we proclaim peace, but we still sit in fear of undeveloped nations or peoples who perpetrate acts of terrorism against America and other developed countries. We in the developed countries, like the United States, must realize that the greatest amount of terrorism today occurs in the wombs of mothers, where babies are constantly being terrorized. Once, Mother Teresa of Calcutta was giving a talk, and they asked Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Mother, when will we be able to have peace, world peace? Mother Teresa of Calcutta replied, you can't have peace as long as you make war on babies. Now, Catholics who believe in the Blessed Mother's message to the three children of Fatima, Lucy, Jacinta, and Francisco, in 1917, have an edge in understanding the signs of the times in relation to war, especially total warfare. During the third apparition to the little children in 1917, Our Lady explained to them the future events. And this is what she said. Listen carefully. Quote, the war is going to end, the First World War. But if they do not stop offending God, another and worse war will break out in the reign of Pius XI. When you see a night illumined by an unknown light, know that this is the great sign that God gives you, that he is going to punish the world for its crimes by means of war, hunger, persecution of the church, and of the Holy Father. To forestall this, I come to ask the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. If they heed my request, Russia will be converted, and there will be peace. If not, she shall spread her errors throughout the world, promoting wars, persecutions of the church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will suffer much. Various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart shall triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, which will be converted, and some time of peace will be given to the world. In Portugal, the dogma of faith will be kept always. Now, most of us know that all of these prophecies, almost all these prophecies, have already come true. Russia did spread her errors throughout the world, causing much suffering and the destruction of many nations, such as Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, not to mention many South American countries, which have experienced the mass destruction of peoples through communism. The Holy Father has suffered much and has even shed his blood at the hands of persons encouraged or under the direction of the Russian KGB. The rest of the prophecies will surely come true too. 3 years after the apparition at the Cova de Jura, Blessed Jacinta Marto became seriously ill and died in the year 1920. While Jacinta lay sick and dying, Our Lady visited her and gave her a number of messages. According to Jacinta, quote, Our Lady said that there are many wars and discords in the world. Wars are only punishment for the sins of the world. Our Lady cannot stay the arm of her beloved Son upon the world anymore. It is necessary to do penance. If people amend their lives themselves, our Lord shall still come to the aid of the world. If they do not amend themselves, punishments will come. Notice what she said. War is a punishment for sin. And if we don't amend ourselves, punishments will come, which means war will come. Now, a fact which must be faced by all of us today is that the world has not gotten better since Our Lady's messages and her plea for us to reform our lives. We have, in fact, gotten much worse. John Paul II says that today, quote, we are facing an enormous and dramatic clash between good and evil, between the culture of death and the culture of life. He says this in his encyclical, Evangelium Vitae. He also says that a number of abortions and infanticides today indicates that the world has reverted to a, quote, state of barbarism, which one hoped had been left behind forever, unquote. This is why the Pope says this, quote, we are facing an immense threat to life, not only to the life of individuals, but also to that of civilization itself, unquote. Civilization itself is threatened. That's the total world order is threatened to be falling apart and crumbling. Indeed, as violence accelerates and expands throughout the globe, one wonders if there is not a race to see which comes first, the nuclear war or the threshold of the 21st century. It is interesting to note that this year, 1998, two nations, Pakistan and India, have become the latest nations to successfully test nuclear explosives. As smaller and more unstable nations obtain nuclear warheads, the possibility of an all-out nuclear war becomes more likely. So, we look on with grave concern and anxiety at the escalating bloodshed and a rapidly growing disunity around the world. There is strife between Israelis and Palestinians, the Irish Republican Army and the Irish of Ulster, between the Serbs and the Croatians, between the Serbs and the Albanians, between blacks and blacks in Africa, between whites and blacks in Africa, between the people of India and the people of Pakistan, and on and on and on and on. Well, many people ask, what is the third secret of Fatima? They all figure it must have something to do with the third secret of Fatima. But you know, when they asked this, Cardinal Ratzinger, who has read the third secret, stated that announcing the third secret now would only give in to sensationalism and cause confusion. People want to make money on books and things like this. They duplicate things. They add things. People don't know if they're true or what. So it's dangerous to come out with something like that now. He said that there is already enough information given to people to figure out what the message is all about. And this is certainly true. Our Lady stated that what she wants most is conversion of souls and repentance of people for their sins. This would include sins of abortion and sins of the flesh, homosexual acts, adultery, okay, that include fornication, pornography, dirty movies, all of these things, immodest dress, okay, all of these things have to cease if we want peace. So if our requests are not done, then obviously there will be punishment. And Our Lady warned in other parts of her message that war is a punishment for sin. And Sister Lucy stated that Our Lady's warning at Fatima was related to the possibility of a, quote, atomic war, unquote. As man makes his way across the nuclear threshold of the 21st century. So obviously, if the world does not repent from its abortions and sins of the flesh, like homosexuality, so forth, there will be a horrible Third World War, and this will surely be nuclear. Any chastisement that would come would actually be an act of mercy by God to prevent the nuclear war from completely destroying the earth. Our Lady did, however, promise that in the end there would be a period of peace. So it will not be the end of the world. Perhaps we can now understand the third secret of Fatima without even seeing the letter. Remember that Our Lady said that the third secret should be opened and read by the Pope after 1960. Why 1960? Well, the letter was to be read in 1960 because it was in the early 1960s that the sexual revolution would begin and the Cuban Missile Crisis would occur, when Russia and the United States would come extremely, extremely close to destroying the world in a nuclear holocaust. No doubt Our Lady knew that her warnings would make more sense to the Pope in the 1960s than in the 1920s. Only in the 1960s would the Pope be in a position to understand the real possibilities of a Third World War as a nuclear war and the possible horrendous results. Only then could a Pope realize that Our Lady's plea had to do with both the spiritual and physical survival of the world itself. So we ask, is there any hope for world peace? Well, certainly there is. We must do what Our Lady asks. God will certainly reward anyone who does. Once more, there is a special role to be played by Saint Joseph. During the fourth and fifth apparitions, Our Lady spoke of the promised vision that would occur, and she said about the vision, quote, Saint Joseph will come with a baby Jesus to give peace to the world. Our Lord will also come to bless people. Besides, Our Lady of the Rosary and Our Lady of Sorrows will come, unquote. Now, when this promised vision did occur during the miracle of the sun, the visions of the children were described as follows. Quote, the sun was now pale as moon. To the left of the sun, Saint Joseph appeared, holding in his left arm the child Jesus. Saint Joseph emerged from the bright clouds only to his chest, sufficient to allow him to raise his right hand and make together with the child Jesus the sign of cross three times over the world. As Saint Joseph did this, Our Lady stood in all her brilliancy to the right of the sun, dressed in blue and white robes of Our Lady of the Rosary. Meanwhile, Francesco and Jacinta were bathed in the marvelous colors and signs of the sun, and Lucia was privileged to gaze upon our Lord dressed in red and the Divine Redeemer blessing the world, as Our Lady had foretold. Like Saint Joseph, he was seen only from his chest up. Besides him stood Our Lady, dressed now in the purple robes of Our Lady of Sorrows, but without the sword. Finally, the Blessed Virgin appeared again to Lucia in all her ethereal brightness, clothed in the simple brown robes of Mount Carmel, unquote. Now, my brothers and sisters, I believe that Saint Joseph plays a special role in helping Catholics to negotiate the narrows while crossing the threshold of the 21st century. John Paul II believes this too. He says in his encyclical Guardian of the Redeemer, he says that Saint Joseph has a special, a particular role to play for all Catholics today, especially in light of the new Christian millennium. Saint Joseph, what is this role? Saint Joseph will protect Catholics who turn to him with an authentic devotion, just as he protected Jesus and Mary when they fled the murderers Herod and crossed the desert into Egypt. So you see, Joseph, Saint Joseph, is quite important. What we need to do then, if we want world peace, my brothers and sisters, we must receive the sacraments, communion, daily if we can. And we must remain in this state of grace. Say, go to Mass, of course, every day if we can. Say the Rosary daily. And we also need to have a devotion to Saint Joseph. Now, when you have a devotion to Saint Joseph, some people say, oh, I have a devotion to St. Joseph. I buried a statue in the ground. Well, that's not it. Joseph doesn't like to be buried in the ground. What you need to do to have the St. Joseph's devotion is to put St. Joseph's statue in your home, where everybody can see it who comes in, Catholics, non-Catholics alike, where they can see and make it a large-sized St. Joseph. See to it that your church has a statue, St. Joseph, in its sanctuary. You know, we've kind of gotten away as from St. Joseph, when his statue disappeared from the sanctuary. We need to get him back in there. if we have this devotion to St. Joseph, my brothers and sisters, no matter what happens, you can be sure that you and your family are going to be protected during this time. And then you'll be around when you're the peace after the purification will have peace. And then you'll be one of the special members of the new evangelization team shall go out and convert the rest of the world. Thank you for being here with us. And I hope you enjoyed this series. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Joseph, pray for us.